God does not need great means to perform great miracles. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. The two parables that we just heard in today's gospel, the mustard seed and the leaven, are but image of the church. No institution on earth, no other form of government, no other religion can claim to have survived against all odds, despite violent persecutions from outside, from objectively destructive heresies and schisms from inside. From the early times of the catacombs to the present era of grave relativism, ignorance, and unfortunately, indifferentism. God chooses very imperfect and seemingly useless instrument, or at least poorly adapted, so that no one can claim for himself the merit and glory of any success except God. And this is certainly the most astonishing miracle ever done: the church and its spiritual empire. As we also celebrate our annual All Saints party today, let us reflect on the mystery of the church and our participation to its mission, that is, our sanctification, through the practice of the 8 Beatitudes, each Beatitude being a special but simple path to maintain the communion of saints, not only by walking in the footsteps of those saints who have preceded us, but also in sanctifying each other and working actively for the extension of the kingdom of our Lord. As we will see, each beatitude refers to specific gifts of the Holy Spirit as habits that accompany sanctifying grace, whereby a man is well disposed to receive his inspirations. The Holy Spirit, who was given to us to continue the sanctification of men after Christ had ascended to heaven. Spirit of truth and grace, principle of life, who invigorates each branch of that tree, which is the church, as we just heard in the gospel. The Beatitudes also refer to several virtues, which confers goodness on its owner and makes his act good and pleasant to God. So keeping that distinction clear between a gift of the Holy Spirit, a special help for the Holy Spirit, and a proper virtue acquired through the repetition of a good habit. Let us then connect all the dots and look around us, even physically. Look at the beautiful connection between the church militant on earth, sitting on these pews, the glorified church represented in the statues we have, stained glass we have in the church, glorified church in heaven, and the suffering church in purgatory, also represented today in the church. If you look on the side by the Pietà statue, we have this catafalque, what we call a catafalque or a fake coffin, to remind us of the reality of our death, the judgment to come, purgatory, hell or heaven, particularly during this month of November. So blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The first beatitude has to be related to the gift of fear of the Lord. Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who fear the Lord. This fear of the Lord, which impels men to a profound respect for the majesty of God, supporting then the virtue of hope and temperance. Hope in the reward to come, promised by God, and temperance in the regulation or moderation of our internal emotions and external acts, seeking pleasure and desire in an inordinate manner, keeping us slaves of ourselves, slaves of the devil and of the world. Temperance. What better example than the great St. Vincent de Paul, present in the back of church, and his great spirit of mortification. The great St. Catherine of Siena, who found in her profound detachment from earthly pleasures the treasures of divine joy. Blessed are the meek, for they shall possess the earth. Attached to this beatitude is the gift of piety. Piety which enables men to show reverence both for God as a most loving Father, and this is important, and for men as sons of God. Reverence for God and for men. And so its connection to the practice of meekness and kindness allows men to truly possess the earth in the sense of a better control he has over the stormy seasons of life. St. Francis de Sales, for instance, and his heroic kindness, meekness, which won thousands of souls and brought them back to the true faith. Because blessed are the meek, for they shall possess the earth. Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Here the gift of knowledge. Knowledge also known as the science of the saints, to perfect our faith and our hope. And the gift of knowledge enables men, through some form of spiritual relish and warmth of charity, to judge everything in its relationship to its supernatural end by means of inferior causes. Gift of knowledge, and again, with the month of November, the catafalque in the church today, all that helps us to put everything in that perspective of our ultimate end, heaven, to subordinate all these secondary causes to the ultimate cause, God. Francis de Sales tells us, "There have been saints, to be sure, who were wonderfully wise for all of their ignorance. There have been others, equally as certain, who have been wonderfully ignorant for all of their knowledge." And elsewhere, "My child," continues the saint, "we do not see our God. And although faith warns us that he is present, not beholding him with our mortal eyes, we are too apt to forget him and act as though he were afar. For while knowing perfectly that he is everywhere, if we do not think about it, it is much as though we knew it not. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for justice, for they shall be satisfied." And connected with his other beatitude, "Blessed are they who suffer persecution for justice's sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." To these two beatitudes, the gift of fortitude, which gives the soul a singular strength in resisting evil and attaining to everlasting life, the end we talked about. It strengthens our own virtue of fortitude. This is the distinction I made at the beginning between a gift of the Holy Spirit, an extra help that we get from the Holy Spirit, and the virtues that we practice on our own by repeating acts of fortitude, but also by asking the Holy Spirit to come and strengthen that virtue in us, to grow that virtue in us. And so many young and apparently weak women who found the strength to resist their enemies before laying down their lives for the love of God. St. Agatha, St. Margaret, St. Barbara, who refused to satisfy the passions of their executioners for the love of Christ, their only judge, holding true to their faith. All the holy apostles standing in the nave, who persevered despite a seemingly hopeless future for the church at the time of its very fragile birth. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Here the gift of counsel, which enables men to judge and commend individual acts well. It helps us in the practice of the virtue of prudence. I receive this counsel, these inspirations from the Holy Spirit, in order to guide my practice of the virtue of prudence, to make wise, prudent decisions. Look at the example of the great St. Louis, asking to one of his friends, "What is God?" His friend replied, "Sir, it is that which is so good that there cannot be nothing better." "Well," said the king, "now tell me, would you rather be a leper or commit a mortal sin?" "I would rather commit 30 mortal sin," answered the man, "than be a leper." "When a man dies," said the saint, "he is healed of leprosy in his body. But when a man who has committed a mortal sin dies, he cannot know of a certainty that he has in his lifetime repented in such sort that God has forgiven him. Wherefore he must stand in great fear, lest that leprosy of sin last as long as God is in paradise." Gift of counsel. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they shall see God. Understanding here, gift of understanding, is a supernatural enlightenment given to man in the form of a habit whereby he grasps revealed truth easily and immediately. On the other side, we know that sin blinds the intelligence. It also aids and perfects the virtue of faith. Same thing on the other side, grave sins blind the intelligence and weakens the faith. They shall see God, the clean of heart. They shall constantly walk in the presence of God, doing everything as if Christ himself was doing it. Saint Thérèse of Lisieux, Saint Aloysius, who had to suffer much and yet found the true meaning of suffering. Both practicing what St. Francis de Sales calls the little virtues. One would say, for instance, to pick up a needle or a pen for love can convert a soul. And the other would say, everything, even sweeping, scraping vegetables, weeding a garden, and waiting on the sick could be a prayer if it were offered to God. What a comforting thought for us. Everything can be turned into a prayer if done out of love. Blessed are the peacemaker, for they shall be called children of God. Here, the gifts of wisdom infused by God to make the soul more responsive to the inspirations of the Holy Spirit. In the contemplation of divine things, and in the use of God's ideas to judge both created and divine manners. Wisdom, as we said, as a lens through which all our actions will be set ablaze because motivated by the fire of charity. Saint Rose of Lima, First Saints of the Americas, Saint Elizabeth of Hungary, always ready to give up everything, even their own lives, for the neediest. They shall be called children of God. Our Lord gives us a final recommendation. Blessed are you when men approach you and persecute you, and speaking falsely say all manner of evil against you, for my sake. Rejoice and exult, because your reward is great in heaven. Joy that we all have to share in a particular way this month, as we reflect on the reality of death, the judgment but also the promise of the kingdom. Promise for ourselves and for the souls waiting in purgatory for our intercessions, our prayers. However, only one saint perfectly fulfilled the law of the Beatitudes, as we know. A sword pierced her heart. Her son remained a sign and remains a sign of contradiction until the end of time. And she will continue to dry our tears in this valley of tears. And yet, amazingly, her canticle continues to be heard in all corners of the earth. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. May Mother Church, as described in the second parable of the Gospel today, continue to shape our soul with the leaven of grace, so that we can continue to rise and become, as those who have preceded us, a holy bread, a holy and worthy offering, as the priest soon will lift up that bread on the paten, uniting all of us on that paten. Becoming a holy bread, a participation of the divine nature, and a communion to the one true bread of life. Grant us, we beseech you, Almighty God, as we pray in the Mass, ever to think of spiritual things, and in every word and work, always to do what is pleasing in your sight, so one day we can all be reunited with the court of saints and angels, and also receive that crown. That crown, since our faith assures us that you do not need great means to perform great miracles. Only if we continue to cooperate with your grace. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.